Let's say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning. Bring your greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Invite all of you here, and our visitors are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord together. It is good to be here and be able to worship the Lord and serve the Lord. It's another good day to be alive. And yeah, it's not very many Christmas times that we get that is we've had the weather that we've had, but that truly is a blessing to have some really nice warm weather in the middle of winter. But trust all of you had a good Christmas, and some of you, maybe some of your gatherings still aren't over yet, and that's a good thing too. And so I was thinking this week of what do you preach on or share a message on a day after Christmas, one day after Christmas Day, and what do we think about, you know, singing too. When Joe said about singing a Christmas song, I think we could have sang several Christmas songs this morning. That would have been okay with me. I know yesterday was Christmas, but to me, the Christmas season don't seem like it's truly over yet. And if you really think about it, as we reflect on the real meaning of Christmas, our thoughts should be drawn to some of that every day of our lives, I think, of Christ coming to Christmas, or coming to this earth, and the real reason that he came to this earth. To provide salvation for all mankind. Singing this morning too, one of my devotionals that I had this week was in Isaiah chapter 9. This isn't the main text of the message, but in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, "For unto us," and this is kind of the foretelling of Christ coming, "but for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And as I read this text, I often thought of that verse, but the next verse really jumped out of me in there. It says, "Of the increase of his governments and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." There's two phrases in that verse, and maybe I'll draw some more thoughts out of some of this. So we go through the message, but there in verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." You know, the verse 6 there in Isaiah 9 was the foretelling of Christ, when Christ was going to come as a baby, a child is born and given to us. But then it's talking about his church that's going to be established because of that, and the peace, and there shall be no end. And the end of that verse, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." Was also thinking just a little bit too, we had talked last Sunday some about the hostages being miraculously delivered there in Haiti, and as Brother Daniel was sharing a little bit about it here again this morning, and a verse came to my mind in Isaiah 42 verse 8. It says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." And you know, I was throughout this whole process, you know, many times we hear people saying things like, "Why don't miracles happen today like they did in the Bible times, or in when Jesus was here on this earth?" And I think there still are many, many, many times. It's just that all of our prayers aren't always answered with yeses, so we start getting the feeling that God don't answer prayers anymore. But yet, I think many, many times God is performing many miracles. And I had to think too, as the story was unfolding over the weekend there, after the hostages were able to get away, and the story was unfolding, and it became evident that it was a miraculous deliverance instead of a release. You know, how much more praise and how much more glory God is getting from this story than if the captors would have just released him. Yes, he would have still, I'm not saying he wouldn't have got praise and glory from that. And then my quiet thoughts were going along the line of, well, wonder what the news media is going to do with this story. And, you know, I've seen a few of them. I want to look at it just a little bit more sometime. I guess I didn't have time this week. But a few of them touched on it just a little bit, but very few of them dwelt much on the miraculous deliverance that happened there. Yeah, they would say the hostages were released, or the hostages were able to get a, one I've seen said something, the headline, something along the, the hostages were able to get away while their captors weren't looking, or something along that line. And, you know, they completely sidestepped the whole deliverance and the power of God. So thinking about some of that, you know, what are we today doing with the Lord? Where are we at in our walk with the Lord? What do we do one day after Christmas? And not one day after Christmas, but for the rest of our lives. And my mind was drawn a little bit to the psalmist David as I was thinking about some of these thoughts and, you know, all the difficulties that he went through in life. But yet, in the midst of all of those difficulties, he continued to praise the Lord. He continued to call out to God for deliverance in the midst of all of those hard things. And, you know, I guess some of that, you know, what is our heart's desire here this morning? Are we getting discouraged by life? Are we getting to the place where we are feeling that God don't do great things anymore? We know God don't do miracles. Where are we really at? Maybe another question for each of us to think about. If we were able to put a temperature gauge on our hearts that show where we are at in our relationship with the Lord, whether we are hot, like really pursuing God, really good, a good spot with God, whether we are lukewarm, whether we are warm, or whether we are getting cold, what would that reveal? Thought about that a little bit this week in relation as I was studying for the message or thinking about the message of this morning. It was going to town and, you know, the truck, my pickup, and I'm not sure, it was one of them really cold mornings. It was a diesel pickup, so I don't know if it had a little bit of gelled fuel somewhere. I wouldn't have thought it was that cold, but all of a sudden it fluttered for a little bit and then it went on. And, you know, instantly when something like that happens, you look down at the gauges. Does everything look normal on the gauges? And, you know, we all have a temperature gauge in our vehicles. If it gets too hot, you start wondering, you better stop and figure out what's going on. But, you know, thinking about that in our relationship with the Lord, where are we at? Is it as our desire to know God in a real and intimate way and to seek to know more and more about Him? Are we following hard after God? Philippians 3:10, the Apostle Paul said that his heart's desire was that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 talks about very familiar verses here. As the hart, or as a deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, has there ever been something in your life that you really wanted? Maybe something that you've been looking forward to for a long time. Maybe you were planning on it. Maybe it was another job you were wanting to do. Maybe it was another vehicle you were wanting to get. Maybe it was a new tool if you're a man. Maybe it was a new appliance for the house if you were a lady. Something that you look forward to, that you put forth effort. A lot of times when you do that, you put forth effort into saving some money for it or providing, if it's just a new tool, something small, sometimes it don't take a lot of effort, but if it's something large, it's going to cost a fair amount of money or something. You put a lot of effort into planning and saving some money, how you're going to make this work. Sometimes we even devise a plan or strategy to be able to make it work to get it. What about in our Christian life? Are we following after God in such a way, looking forward to that day that we are going to be with Him in heaven? You know, continuing to every day press forward one foot at a time, making a way for us to have a good and continual good and right relationship with the Lord. The title of the message this morning is Following Hard After God. You know, I had to think again this week. As back probably, I don't know, it's at least 10 or 12 years ago, Lois and I traveled with several other couples down to MEW in Mississippi, and we flew by airplane, and we had got to the airport. We rented, I think it took three different vehicles for all of us were there. And we went down through a couple fairly, well, one for sure, a large city, and I don't know if you've ever followed somebody through a city, but one vehicle's hard enough to keep after, let alone three, trying to keep three vehicles together. And there was a couple times we were in the third vehicle. I was not driving, thank goodness. But the third vehicle, a couple times we're like, okay, where did they get to? Because the other cars would start cutting you in and cutting you off. And after a bit, you realized, you barely could see them anymore. And finally, you know, you were intently on figuring out a way to get back in line and get behind them again. But then I had to think about that. What would happen if we would put that same kind of effort on a daily basis into following and going after God? What would happen to us as individuals, as families, as a church, if we made that kind of all-out effort to pursue God until we really know Him? Would it make a difference? Think about the difference it would make in our lives, in our prayer life, in our priorities, in the use of our time, in our spending habits, in our social life, the way we dress, in our church attendance, in our burden for the lost, in our commitments that we have made to each other in the church, our actions and attitude, pretty much everything about life. Thinking about some of that, what does it mean to follow or to go after God? So the text this morning, if you will turn with me at this time, we're going to be looking at Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. This is the psalmist David speaking here, and it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore the shadow of thy wings. I'm sorry, let me start verse 7 over again. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth thee. A lot of the thoughts that we were drawing, some of the here at the beginning, opening of the message, and some of the thoughts we'll be thinking about is there in verse 8, where the psalmist David is, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth thee. The three parts to the message this morning. The first part is know where you are. We see there in verse 1, apparently the psalmist David found himself in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, kind of a place where he was wondering where God was. He maybe was in a, let me back up. I'm getting some of my thoughts, more thoughts are coming to mind as I'm sharing the thoughts that I already had, and maybe it's a good way to say it. Were you ever in a place where you wondered what was going to happen next, or wondering what was up, or where's God at in the middle of this? But let's see what the psalmist David says here in verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I think we see many things here in this verse, but one of the things we see him wondering where God is, or he's in a dry and thirsty land, but yet we see him continuing to praise God, continuing to long for him, even though he is maybe in a dry place. You know, God has made each one of us as human beings the way we are. He made us with the capacity to think. He allowed us to go through some of the things we face, and he allows us to make choices in the midst of some of those hard things. Sometimes we find ourselves in a dry and thirsty land, and it's some of those times that our faith and loyalty to God can be tested to the end. You know, I had to think about that too in relation to those there in Haiti. It was maybe hard enough for our faith sometimes in situations like that when we're not directly involved, I say directly involved, closely related to the situation. But think about the close families and the intense moments they would have had, whether it was their wives or their daughters or their sons or their brothers or sisters that were there. But it's in each of those times when we sense a dry and thirsty time that we have choices to make. And I think we see the psalmist David giving us a lot to ponder on and think about there when he continues to acknowledge that, O God, thou art my God. We see the psalmist David continue to desire that close and intimate relationship with God, even though he is maybe sensing a dry and thirsty time in his life. You know, and sometimes I wonder if it isn't possible. I guess in my own life experience, I believe it is possible to get to a dry and thirsty place in your life and not really realize it for a little while. In other words, your faith, not that you lose your faith, not that you don't have a relationship with God anymore, but you begin to just go along through life not recognizing the power of God, maybe is a good way to say it, in the way we should. Thinking about some of those thoughts, I had to think too. I was at a sale many years ago, and I often think about this conversation that I had with several other guys that were there. And the one guy said, in comparison to all the history of America, we have it quite good. And then his next statement is the one that made me step up and think and start to think about it. But then he said, I'm not sure that all the prosperity that we have today is all good in our Christian life. And I thought about that many, many times. You know, think about it for a moment. Do you really feel like you need God as strongly as we really do if everything is going smoothly? If all the bills are paid, if there's extra money in the bank, if you have all the food that you wanted. No, it's many times in the times when we are struggling with something. Maybe it's a sickness or an illness. Maybe we don't have enough money to pay the bills. It's many times in those times that it drives us to our knees, the times that we are dry and thirsty, where there no water is. If everything is bright and green and growing and producing, our souls finding God, our sinners forsaking their sins and turning back to God, our lives being changed by the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Where are we at this morning? Are we crying out to God? Are we recognizing God for who He is? Is our soul longing and thirsting after God? Even if we are filled to the brim and running over, are we still crying out to God and continue to recognize His power and His goodness and His greatness and our dependence on Him? You know, I've probably used this illustration many times. I know I have. But those of you that have any experience with cattle or animals on a hot summer day when they're out in pasture and they're coming in from the pasture and they're all needing to drink, they're just like, and you only have maybe a trough that there's big enough, room enough for maybe 5 to 8 or 10, depending on the size of your trough, maybe more than that if you have more than one trough, but there's 50 or 80 or 100 animals, and you see the first ones just trucking along, and then they've got a goal. You know where they're going. They're going all headed straight for that watering trough. But the first ones that get there are just diving their noses in and getting a drink, and the rest are just coming up behind them and crowding up behind them, and some of them are trying to push some out of the way, and after a bit, the first ones get enough to drink, and they each kind of take their turn. But often think of that in relation to those verses that I read there in Psalm 42, where it says, as a hart or as a deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And I guess the question that often comes to my mind as I think about some of this, do I have a desire to serve the Lord that is so great that I'm coming almost running, so to speak, like the cattle are to the watering trough, knowing of my need and our dependency on God? Part two is see God as our only hope. Verse 3 in our text there, the psalmist David says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Only when we see God as our only hope will we long after Him the way we should. I think David here is acknowledging the presence of God. verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Do we truly see God as our only hope? Again, thinking about that phrase there in verse 1, where we see the psalmist David saying about God, O God, thou art my God. I have that underlined and highlighted in my Bible. O God, thou art my God. He laid personal claim to God as his rightful owner and ruler. We all need help from God. We are nothing within and of ourselves. We need to come before God and recognizing him as our only hope, recognizing our need of daily repentance and recognizing our need of keeping our hearts and lives focused on God. You know, I've said before, and I don't know if this fits real well here, but we think about the New Testament talks about running the race that is set before us and keeping our eyes focused on the goal. You know, if we get distracted in life to the right or to the left of the things that are happening around about us, the sin and the wickedness that we see happening around about us, it takes our focus off of the goal of focusing on God and recognizing our dependence on him. Part 3 we want to look at yet is the longing of our soul. I like the phrase there too in verse 1 where the psalmist David makes the statement there, early will I seek thee. I don't think this is the idea necessarily as early as in early in the hour of the day, but I think this verse means more to make seeking God a first priority in our lives. Not something that we do if we have time for it, but something that is of utmost importance to us, of seeking God as first thing in our lives. Another thing we want to notice is the earnestness of his pursuit. And I did talk about this just a little bit, but thinking about that phrase again in verse 1, of my soul thirsteth for thee, for my flesh longeth for thee. It's almost like I want more of you. I want as much as I can get of you. I know I need you to survive. Thinking again, I used the illustration there about cattle. But were you ever to the place where you felt like you barely could get enough to drink, or you needed a drink so bad? I remember another time, actually Lois and I were probably only married a year or two, and we flew to Arizona. This was probably one of the most desperate times in my life, I think, that I had needing a drink. But we were flying, I forget the whole story of our flight. A bunch of flights got switched around, if I remember right, and wherever we were flying into another airport to make a connecting flight, and they told us which gates the plane was coming in, and the gate that we were needing to make our connecting flight. And we looked at the schedule of the airport, or the map of the airport. We were like, oh good, it's only about 2 or 3 gates down. Well, don't you know, when we're coming down, they came on and said there's been a bunch of changes that I forget what all happened. Here it was clear out another terminal, and we did not have much time between when we landed and when our next flight took off. And I'm talking, it was almost clear at the other opposite side of the airport. And we came out of that airplane, and I mean, we took off running. We got there, we were the last ones on. No, we weren't the last ones. There was somebody right behind us that was on our flight that we were making a connecting flight to. And when we got on the plane, they shut the door behind us, and we sat down, and I mean, we needed a drink so bad. It was the worst time in my life that I needed a drink. And of course, you know, you got to wait till the plane takes off and things like that before they start coming around and offering you a drink. But, you know, I just remember sitting there. We were out of breath. Our mouths and our throats were dry. You could not barely, you just felt like you were, or maybe I shouldn't say felt like, you weren't quite sure if you were going to fully make it. But then I thought, here in this situation, do our hearts desire, do our souls long after God with that same intensity? Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, for my flesh longeth for thee. I believe it's almost as if David is crying out, my whole body longs for you. Every cell of my body is crying out for refreshment. And I think the most thing that I want us to grasp here is, I believe what we see David saying here is, I recognize the fact that I cannot live without you. I will not survive without you. Are we being that serious about our pursuit with God? Has my desire for God and my relationship with him become as important as the water is to somebody that is almost dying of thirst? I've seen this while I was studying this quote. It said, if not, maybe we're not thirsty enough yet. I really thought about that. Just as the human body cannot function in strength and energy without taking in food and water to nourish and replenish it, David is saying here that you cannot function as a human Christian, as a human being, as a Christian. You cannot function spiritually without feeding on bread and the Word of God from the Bible. We cannot survive without focusing on God. Verse 2, here we see, backing up just a couple verses from some that we looked at, to see thy power and thy glory, for as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. We see here David too, longing to see God's power and his glory. When we follow after God and seek him, we will immediately begin to see his power and his glory. We'll see him display his work in our lives as never before. Do we recognize that God loves us? I think it was mentioned in Sunday school. I was in the Sunday school class this morning. Here we didn't have the new believers class this morning, but I'm losing a thought there, but Brother Eddie made the comment about God designing us as humans to worship him, or designing us as beings to worship him, I think, with some of the thoughts that he said. Do we recognize that God loves us so much that he wants to have that close and intimate relationship with us? He wants us to worship him. He wants us to praise him. He wants to hear from our lips. It says we love him and we want to live for him. As God moves in power among us, do we respond in praise and worship from within our lives? I had to think just a little bit, and I shared a message on that a while back about the 10 lepers that were healed, and only one returned to give thanks. Are we willing to turn and give God praise and honor and glory? Verse 5 there in our text, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Remember, and when you were hungry and thirsty, when you were longing for God, when you were weary, when you were dry, remember then when you feel satisfied to continue to praise the Lord with joyful lips. Each day is a new day. You know, we often think of coming to the end of the year for a business especially. It's a time to wrap up the accounting for the past year, and the next year starts over with a new slate, and we can't do that in quite the sense in our Christian lives. But yet it is a time for us, I believe, to stop and take inventory of where we are at. It's a little hard sometimes to gauge from day to day or week to week. But if we look from where we were at a year ago to where we are at today and where we are heading in the future, it is a time for us to realize, are we continuing to grow in newness and walk in our walk with the Lord? Psalm 107, verse 9 says, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. If we seek God with all of our heart, that takes all of our effort, all of our strength, everything that we do, he will satisfy the inner longings of our soul with himself. I like verse 6 and 7 as well. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in thy night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice, or I will sing for joy. If we continue to place our trust in God, we don't have to fear. Thinking about there in verse 7, the shadow of thy wings, you know, as protection. I had to think too a little bit. You know, it's only by a miracle and by the grace of God that nothing more happened to them hostages while they were in captivity. As you hear many other gruesome and horror stories of things that can happen in situations like that. I believe God was protecting them. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to the whatever that was called. It was given last Monday morning at 10 o'clock. What'd you say, Marianne? The news conference. There you go. But there was also another longer one that the one man had spoke. I think it was about 3 hours. There's short clips of some of that. But realizing the power of God that was happening many times throughout their captivity, and how the men couldn't even get near them, and even the witch doctor was trying to come at the Sam, I think his name was, the man, one of the older men that was with, or the oldest men in their group. He wasn't an older man. I think he's in his 40s. But some of the things, some of the stories that are coming from out from that, or that happened as part of that, if you get a chance, listen to that. God was protecting them many, many times by the shadow of his wings. And then verse 8 yet, in closing here, for my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Are we continuing to follow hard after God? Why would have they included the word heart in there? They could have just said, my soul followeth after thee. But I think the word heart adds a whole different dimension to it. In other words, putting forth a lot of effort, doing it even whether you feel like it or not, doing it even in the midst of the hard and difficult things of life. Are we following hard after God on a daily basis? What about when you maybe don't feel like it? Maybe when you feel like the whole world is crashing down, are we continuing to follow hard after God? I forget who it was just recently. Actually, it might have been Brother Paul. One time here, we were talking about something after church. And I said, there's two Bible characters, and I like many, many Bible characters, but two I probably like the most. And one would be the Psalmist David, and the other would be the Apostle Paul. And I think that's because the reason I like them probably the most is because of so much of their life that you get to witness, or hear, not witness, because we don't see it, but so much of their life that you get to read about and hear about, and all the hard things that they faced, all the hard trials and all the difficulties. But yet they remained faithful. They wanted to do what was right. They wanted to serve the Lord. The Psalmist David, we even see him falling many times. We see God's redemptive work happening in his life. But bringing that all together here as we close out the message this morning, are we continuing to follow hard after God, even when life don't make sense? On an everyday, moment-by-moment basis, are we continuing to recognize who God is, continue to follow hard after him? So I trust as we're coming to the end of a year, it's not really December 31st, ain't going to be really different than anything other than January 1st, other than it's going to be another day. But where are we really at in our walk with the Lord? Are we truly following and worshiping God? Are we continuing on a daily basis to give honor and glory and praise to God by everything that is said and everything that is done in our lives? You know, I had to think too, if everybody that you interact with on a daily basis, and maybe the biggest test of life would be anybody that you have any business dealings that you do with, what would be their testimony of you if they were asked what they think of you? Just recently, what made me think about some of that, just recently here, there was a man that was talking to me, and he would say he believes in God, but he would not profess to be a Christian. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. It says nothing to do with anybody here, but I'll spare you of a lot of time. But he just made a comment like this: if that's what Christians were really all about, then I really don't want much to do with them. And it had to do with a business dealing that he had with a professing Christian. And I'm not saying that we're all perfect. Don't take me wrong. We're not. We all make mistakes. But what do we do in the midst of all of those times? Are we truly following hard after God? And is it evidence in every area of our lives? With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.